Welcome to Talking Family, Talking Life. And before I push record, I was really debating.
Push record?
Yeah, before I push record, I was debating whether to let you open or not, but we want to start off exciting and not dull.
That was a zinger of an opener.
No, because you remember you did that.
I saw how you changed it up, though. Instead of saying, well, okay, guys, back to talk. You said, all right, well.
And just for the record, we don't rehearse our opening, so as you can tell, this is not stage. But the one time you did do it, you have to admit it was a little.
It was terrible.
It was awful. That's the reason you're not going to
really,
do it.
Yeah.
And it has to, and you know, we talked about sexism a couple weeks ago. It's not because I'm a sexist. It's just because it wasn't fun. But just watch the pro.
I'm so glad we're having this conversation again.
No, just watch the pro and
– The pro.
Watch the pro and you'll get better. You can do it. I believe in you.
Uh-huh.
But now if you guys haven't watched our Facebook Live from last Tuesday, that's still online on our personal account, Mike Sarah Click. We haven't done a Talking Family, Talking Life social media account yet, have we? Just have the email,
nope.
And that's it. And our email is what?
TalkingFamily@MikeAndSarahClick.com.
Good, yeah. And that's just.
Was that correct?
That was right.
Okay.
I couldn't remember off the top of my head, so I'm glad you got it. I'm glad you got it right. But anyways, yeah, on our Facebook Live, if you forgot or didn't watch it, it was on racism, and we really enjoyed that. We liked the interaction with, the listeners that we had that night. And more than likely, we'd like to try to do something like that once a month. And that's one thing. I love doing our podcast, but I really like the interacting part. So we'll try to start doing that once a month.
And we're always looking for good topics. So don't hesitate to email us or send us a message and tell us if you have a topic that you'd like for us to talk about.
And we still haven't got through all the emails that have been sent.
Yep.
Up to this point. Today what we're going to talk about, now let me give you a little bit of backdrop why we decided to touch on this topic actually pretty briefly today. I say that it will probably be our, will probably be our longest one. But this Thursday at our church here in Indiana, myself and Corey Wilson, and I'm going to guilt Sarah to jump in and get part of this as well. But at our church, starting this Thursday, we're doing classes on a topic that's entitled Gospel Conversations on Complex Cultural Issues.
That's a mouthful.
I know. I think that's what the reason I said it slow is I was trying to remember what it was called. And I could have been wrong exactly how it was worded. But I don't know if most parents like this. I don't know what the statistics are, but I think it's safe to say that when it comes to complex cultural issues, I would say there's many parents who shy away with that when we have to deal with that with our kids.
Do you think some of that is just the fear of talking to our kids, doing air quotes, too early about certain topics? Mm-hmm. I think we're scared of that, talking to them about things that we think they're too young to process.
Yeah. And Sarah and I were talking earlier in the office, and, you know, we're going to throw out some different topics that are definitely complex.
Hot button
issues that, you know, that's hard to talk about with our kids. But I think it's, you know, in our personal opinion, is that, I mean, I think, I don't, I'm going to say the word unfortunately, and I don't know if that's the right word, but unfortunately, I think we're forced to talk about certain issues with our kids earlier than we really would.
Sure. Yeah.
Than we really would
especially
desire.
If they're in a typical school setting.
Right.
But and even if they're in church or.
And again, some of these topics, you know, that groups. We have to talk about, I mean, you know, some are easier to talk about than others, but again, they're going to hear, I think every topic that we're going to touch on just real quick today is that they're going to hear it somewhere. And I would say, I'm looking over our list, I would say most of them, they'll hear about it before they even hit junior high.
Oh, for sure. And, yeah, for sure.
And I think I've shared this at one of our podcasts before, where there's my high school principal, and actually I worked with this guy for a short time in Ohio, and he's a pastor now. But I remember him telling this story many times, that he was in college before he even knew what a lesbian was.
Wow.
Haven't told you that?
I don't know. I don't remember that one.
You never listened to me.
I know.
And for us today, that's just mind-boggling. It's like, how can that even happen? How that's even possible?
Yeah.
Well, it happened to that guy decades ago. And again,
wasn't in 2019.
Right. But anyhow, so what are some complex cultural issues that we need to be having some gospel conversations with our kids about? And again, if you're here in our, you know, if you attend our church at Liberty Baptist, we'll be having an elective on a lot of these issues coming up, but this is almost like an overview and some stuff that Sarah and I want to talk about.
I think before you have these conversations, though, it's so key, so crucial to make sure that before you're having these hot button, whatever you want to call them, complex topic conversations with your kids, before you do that, you have to be having really good conversations about the basics, about God's word, about making sure that their minds are so focused on always looking to God's word to teach them truth and using that as their guide. We have to teach our children how to use God's word and the truth of God's word as their guide through anything in life, but especially through those harder topics.
One issue, one hot button issue, we'll just dive right into it. And it just came up again really in the last few weeks, but the whole hot button topic that's out there in our country right now would be the 9-month abortion law. And I've told Sarah this, and I was talking to Pastor Beischer about this a few days ago too as well. The whole topic of abortion has seemed like it's been, and I guess I'm on the news a lot. I mean, every day I'm on the news constantly. This whole topic has been pretty inactive, has been very silent.
Yeah, and there are multiple other states that have already passed this law before New York did, but with whatever reason,
right. But you just don't
hear, catapulted it back into the social media and the news.
But you just don't hear much about the whole abortion issue. And I have a sneaky suspicion, with it being brought up now, our kids are going to start hearing about it in their school.
For sure.
And it's going to be a topic church. In youth groups and church and so forth. And I think the main point that my wife and I want to make today is this. Their pastors want to talk about it. They're going to hear about it from their possibly unsaved teachers. They're going to hear about these issues from their unsaved friends and so forth.
Even Christians. So right. Many Christians that don't take a huge
So if everybody else is getting into their ears, we as parents have the priority and right to get in their ears as well. I mean, I want them in our Sunday school class. We're talking about hearing the voice of God. That's the voice they need to hear first and foremost. But number two needs to be, I believe, they need to be hearing from us as parents as well, and teaching them and touching on these issues. Like with this abortion law that has come into place, you know, I've told people lately, let's just take Scripture out of it for a second. And I say this in the most respectful way possibly that I can possibly say it, where's the common sense in it? I mean, I was watching a video, and Sarah said she watched it a few days ago as well, when they were having this hearing where one of the lawmakers were, you know,
Virginia.
Yeah, in Virginia, were trying to get this law passed. And the guy who was questioning this lady, and many of you guys, if you're listening to this, have probably already heard this video. If you haven't, I'll tell you what was said, was the guy asked the lady, he said, in your bill, in this 9-month abortion bill, let's say a lady, she's in the hospital bed or what have you, and she's dilated. Can you perform an abortion that late in it? And if you watch the video, she's pretty silent at the beginning. It's like she almost did not anticipate that
she's
question.
She's dancing around the answer, right, too, when he first asked it.
Right. Yeah. Then he pressed her on it. And then she said, yes, and my bill, that would be okay. And guys, listen to me. Forget that I'm a pastor. Forget my wife's, you know, both of us are Christians. Forget our leadership positions at our church. I can't wrap my mind around the craziness of that law. There's a lot of things, again, I try to be sensitive in a lot of issues, all right? And you know, for those who know me, I've changed it, and I try to be more sensitive. I'm not there on this one.
Absolutely not.
I'm just not there on this one.
It's absolutely sickening and horrific. There's no other words for it.
Right. And again, an age old argument is this: there are thousands of women, thousands of men, mom, husbands and wives out there who are dying and craving to have a child. And if you, okay, let's just talk about this issue. Nine months along, you've gotten that far. Okay, abortion's wrong at 9 days, 9 weeks, 9 months. Okay, let's get the record straight on that one. You're that far along. I guarantee you these moms out there, there are people in your city, probably in that hospital building, that are wanting a child that may not be able to have one because of different various reasons. Where's the compassion? Where's the kindness? Where's the appreciation of life? I read this verse to Sarah earlier. She didn't read her Bible, actually. She should have to read it to her.
Oh, my God.
So, but Psalm 139, 13 through 16. Listen to this passage, all right? You got it.
It's a familiar verse, but most of us have it memorized in one
translation.
Right. But to hear it read in another one, it was just.
And just for the record, it still carries the same meaning, just in. In my eyes,
different terminology,
simpler to understand, and I'm an idiot, so I need simple language. Here we go. Psalm 139, 13 through 16. Remember the whole context of this passage as well. It says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." Now listen to these two verses. "You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born." Now, listen to this statement. "Every day of my life was recorded in your book."
Every day.
And he made that statement just after when he just said, "You saw me before I was born." And then he went on and said, the psalmist here, "Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed."
Every day is recorded, even inside the mother's womb.
Right.
Whether it's 1 week, 1 month, God has every day, every moment planned out.
Right. I just think this passage is powerful from our Christian biblical standpoint to back our beliefs on what we have for when it comes to pro-life and pro-choice. And I would like to think, even if we didn't have the Bible as our go-to, that we go to why we believe what we believe, because it is the words of God. Even if we didn't have the Bible, I would still think in our mind that we would still hold the belief that once a baby is, you know, once there's, you know, we believe in life at conception. And I always find it ironic. I always try to do arguments from a common sense standpoint. I had a guy a couple weeks ago at our house. He was doing drywall work. And super long story short, he ended up collapsing in our street. And when I went out there, the first thing I wanted to make sure was that he was alive. How do you tell if a person is alive? That they have life in them, that they're breathing, they have a heartbeat, they have a pulse. If he didn't have that, we would say he's dead. But if we say he had those things, he would have life. How is that any different from a baby in a mother's womb that has a pulse, that has a heartbeat. And in my eyes, there's no difference.
This is a hard topic to have with your kids because it can be so gruesome. So we have to decide at what age level they can handle certain information. But even this, just the value of life and the plans that God has for your life, it's so important to have those conversations with your kids. And they're going to see it on news clips, and they're going to see it on their tablets, and they're going to hear it about it, talk about it and hear about it at school. And, you know, our kids go to a Christian school, and their classrooms, thankfully, praise God, they're praying about this issue. So they need to know not just what mom and dad say about it, but what does God's word say about it?
Yeah, good. And guys, that's just one hot button issue, complex issue, if you would, that we can be talking about with our kids. But I mean, here's some other ones. I mean, the homosexuality talk, sexuality, if you would, whatever. Got to have those
talks. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And I remember this was a year or two ago, but one of our kids came home from school and said, it was some argument between kids at school because they were, you know, they call it dating now, even though like dating to us was going out on a date. Dating now is boyfriend, girlfriend status, I guess. My child comes home and tells me, oh, they're dating. She's dating a girl in the third grade. Dating a girl in the third grade, a mm-hmm. fifth, sixth grade child.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about being in a relationship in a same-sex relationship with a third grader. That was not a conversation I was mentally prepared to have with my child at that age. And my child, because it was going on right in front of their eyes, it was almost normal to them. Like, they kind of knew, I mean, they knew this isn't right, this isn't okay, because mom and dad have told me this, but when it came down to it, this was just a Tuesday problem at school.
And I'm sure you guys have seen this with your kids too as well, like Sarah talked about, you know, whether it be homosexuality, racism, sexism, a lot of different things and stuff. These kids at such a young age, they know it. They've heard the issues and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with the whole thing with, and I said homosexuality, but I'm saying sexuality in general. You know, one of our kids, Sarah and I were just, again, having this conversation today. One of our kids came to Sarah the other day, and they went to her instead of me, which I'm highly offended because I could make the conversation.
Not a surprise.
The conversation, I would make this conversation very informative.
I was waiting on your wording. Informative. I was going with, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
Humiliating was the word I was thinking
of. But they wanted to know. They just want to know where babies come from.
Yep.
And we all dread that question, but I'm kind of embracing that question. Just because I know which kid asked, and I know it would mortify this child if I had that conversation with them. But for whatever reason, I'm just not shying away from that one. But I
think sexuality, you know, that is one of the most common hard topics in everybody's house. It doesn't matter what your kids are involved in, what it's a natural curiosity of every single child. And so those are conversations that in some ways start when kids are really, really little, very age appropriate, but really little.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pray about it and figure out what's my child capable of understanding, or unfortunately, what are they picking up from other kids that I have to try and compensate for or correct or however you want to call it. But
Again, racism, you know, issue that I think is healthy to have with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Racism, Black Lives Matter, whatever it might be, have the conversations. Sexism, you know, especially if we have, for those of us who have sons and so forth, have the conversations about the opposite sex and everything. Are we superior, we as guys? Are women beneath us? And I'm being very sarcastic as I say that and so forth and everything. And
it's just as relevant, though. It's just as important to have it with girls. I mean,
mm-hmm.
People are going to treat you how you allow them to treat you. So,
yep.
You know, you want to teach them how to respond to any of these issues with the right spirit, with respect. So.
Yeah, good. And guys, again, our purpose for this podcast today is not to break down each topic and talk about how you can have conversations about that. But if you, again, if you attend Liberty Baptist, you can come to our elective.
Oh my goodness.
What? It's free advertising. Yes. You can come to Corey and I's elective class.
We're advertising now? I'm the children's director at Liberty Baptist, and I'm advertising for children's ministry work.
But we're getting in more depth on these topics starting on Thursday.
Yeah.
But sexism, sexuality, racism, abortion. How about this one right here, finances?
Mm-hmm.
Whew, that can almost go pretty – if we're doing these things in particular order, which we're not, finances could be up there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, I wish more of our – again, only if you're responsible with finances. But it would do our children well if we had – you know, if we as parents would teach them the importance of saving, watching our finances, and using our money wisely.
Absolutely.
And then technology don't – I mean, we've all had technology discussions, I'm sure, with our children. But most of those technology discussions have probably been arguments on – grounding them from the phone.
Or the amount of time that's
spent
on
exactly. it. But have good, healthy dialogue on why too much of a phone, too much of TV, why too much of video games, and on I can go. Why we as parents just have a rational conversation, a respectful conversation with your children and say, hey, here's why we don't want you to be consumed with this. And
or even things like cautioning them. If anyone ever reaches out to you or tries to talk to you that you don't know, what do you do in response to that? You know, if you see something that your spiritual radar goes off and says, this isn't right, you need to come to us and talk to us about it. Turn it off. Get rid of, you know, that.
And again, another hot button top complex issue today that's big time in the media, almost to the point of highly annoying, at least for me it is, just know is when it comes to politics, when it comes to the building of the wall, when it comes...
These are frequent conversations with our kids. Donald Trump,
yeah.
The wall, refugees.
Right. And have conversations about... Ask your kids, what are they being taught? What are their teachers telling them? What are their friends telling them?
Yes.
What do, especially if you have teenagers, they are. I would say some don't care, some have no idea. But see if they know what's going on, and see what their point of view is. It'd be fascinating to know what their point of view is. And again, I'm not going to. Again, our purpose is not to get into what you should say or why you should say, at least in this podcast. Maybe we'll address it in the weeks ahead. But we want you to start thinking about complex issues that you can be having gospel conversations with your children.
Have the conversations about. And start them young. You have to start communicating young. You have to listen to them to know what's going on inside of their heads. But you have to practice communicating. Communicating is still hard for us. We're grown adults, and we've been married for 16-plus years, and communicating is still hard for us. And so we have to teach our children how to communicate with us and how to have communication with other people, with their peers, their teachers. But it has to start when they're little at an age-appropriate level, and then you're teaching them to communicate as they get older. But one of the things I would say for sure that I try to do and don't always get it is to, because our children are not going to always have the right answers, newsflash, neither are we, but they're not always going to have the right answers when communicating, especially on these hot button topics, because, you know, who knows where they're getting their information from. So don't just jump and answer or get upset with them because of a viewpoint right away. I don't mean not getting upset with sin or with something being wrong, but try to answer softly. Answer calmly. Let them explain and then attempt to take your argument from God's word. Sometimes you can and sometimes you can't do that. Sometimes you just have to say, you know what? I've been around longer than you. And I've experienced this and you haven't, maybe in nicer words. But yeah, sometimes it just comes from experience and maturity and gaining knowledge that they haven't acquired yet because they haven't been around as long as you have. But let them talk. Let them express what they're thinking. You want to know what's going inside their heads. And don't just be quick because you're tired of the conversation that you've already had at work and you've already seen so much of it on social media that you're tired of having the conversation and you're done talking about it and you cut them off because you're over it. Let them talk. And when they want to talk about it, let them talk about it. It's the best way for them to learn.
Now, there are appropriate times when you can snap at your kids. Like if they said they were rooting for the Patriots at the Super Bowl last night, you can snap at your child. If you grew up a Bengals fan and they come home wearing, you know, black and gold for Steeler colors, consider giving your child up for adoption. All those are reasonable reactions to rebellious kids. What?
I don't know. All I'm hearing is wah wah football, wah wah Bengals.
I'm just trying to give reasonable responses to kids who have gone over the deep end.
Okay. Deep end. Okay.
And there are people out there who would agree with everything I just said.
There are people out there that have already gone over the deep end. So how do we expect them to raise children
All right, guys. Again, looking through our list, and I like to come back like right now to talk about certain of these topics that we brought up that you could be having with your kids, but I didn't want to do that today. Again, our purpose today was don't be afraid to have these discussions on these culturally complex issues with your children. We as parents have the responsibility, I believe, to address these issues with our kids. And, you know, some of the stuff we've already talked about in podcasts in the past, whether it be racism, sexism, and homosexuality, and so forth. So, for those who have the family at home where there is a mom and a dad, work together on this. And there are plenty of people out there that are single parents, and whether you're a single parent or not a single parent, you have the power of God in your life to be able to have these conversations with your children. So I encourage you.